We're talking now with Extension Livestock Market Economist, Dr. Daryl Peel. We're in Nashville, Daryl, and boy, I know you've been busy doing a lot of some presentations here at the Cattle Industry Convention, but also interacting with some of your colleagues and talking to a lot of media.
That's right. There's a lot of opportunity for interaction here and industry relations. It's a great time.
And you know, I know that you've got a lot of colleagues that are here, both from industry, but also from land grants, and you get to, I guess, as much as anything, kind of compare notes and to really get the feel of what's going on in their sectors.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, we do work together a lot, but it's great to be able to do it in person and do it in the context of the industry and interacting with industry people simultaneously. And so it's a great chance for us to figure things out and figure out where we need to be relative to what the industry's thinking, what the issues are, the concerns are.
I know that one of those highlights of this meeting, for me anyways, for a lot of years and for many of our cattle producer friends that come, is this Cattle Facts Market Outlook Seminar. They give a long-term weather outlook. They talk about feed grains. They talk about demand. They talk about, and then of course, price outlook as well. They've done that once again this year. They seem to be very positive about 2022.
Yeah, I think among market analysts that there's a fair amount of optimism, and I think it's building in the industry as well. 2021 has been kind of the tale of two halves of the year. So the first half of the year has been a struggle, and we still got a little of those struggles. But we're in the process of turning the corner, particularly on the fed cattle market. I think the feeder cattle markets are in pretty good shape. Now, obviously, we do have high feed prices, and we're going to have high feed prices for the foreseeable future. But some of that's factored into the market, and we'll continue to deal with it. The drought. It's an unknown at this point in terms of what that might do to change the trajectory of the industry really beyond 2021. It's not so much what's going to happen the rest of this year, but what it might do for 2022 and 2023. Mm-hmm. So we're watching those things. But in spite of all that, the overall supply situation is stabilizing and strengthening a little bit. Demand has been exceptional. And so, international trade has been very positive. So for all of those, stars are kind of aligning here for the industry to have a lot more optimism going forward.
For a cow-calf guy that's able to produce a calf, and we're, I guess, in the part of the world that we've got every opportunity to do that in Oklahoma, down into Texas, our friends in Kansas, Missouri and whatnot. We're outside of the drought zone. We've got, I think, it looks like a pretty good opportunity.
That's right. Pasture conditions are in good shape. Hay's been a little iffy because at times we've been too wet. It's affected a little bit both quantity and quality, but I think all things considered, we're going to have lots of hay. Certainly got great pasture conditions, and again, when you look at how the feeder cattle market actually responds to these high grain prices, what it does is it provides an incentive to put more weight on these cattle before they go to the feedlot and have to eat that expensive grain. And so we're seeing values of gain that are increasing, and that provides more opportunities for both stocker producers and for cow calf people that might want to think about retaining their calves as stockers beyond weaning.
I guess here we are a little early, maybe be talking about at this point, but I'm sure there's guys in the back of their mind, they're ready to try to get some wheat pasture.
Well, and actually, I just started. It's the time of year when I start looking at budgets. I look at these values again, look at where the futures are, obviously, as we go into next spring. And, the early indications are, again, that those opportunities look pretty positive right now. The feed grain situation is going to encourage more stocker type production. And the futures right now have factored in a lot of this optimism. And so there's opportunities there that look pretty positive relative to the early budgets I've run.
When you start thinking about the profitability for our cattle producers are this is obviously 2020 was a tough year. We got through it. 2021, I guess are we making some money, you think?
Well, yeah, obviously it depends on who you are and where you are. I think cow-calf is kind of a plus or minus kind of a situation. It really depends on your cost structure, and that varies a lot. I think some people will make pretty good money. Others may be more of a break-even situation. I think this stocker deal does have some opportunities going forward. Feedlots have obviously struggled a lot in the first half of the year, but I think as we go forward, there's going to be some opportunities there as well. Again, recognizing that we got to deal with these high feed prices.
I guess you and I have talked about it before, but that low-cost cattle producer, low-cost cow-calf operator, he's really kind of the driver's seat.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, that's what it comes down to as much as anything. Over time, certainly, if you look at, year in and year out, those producers that have the best handle on their cost of production they're going to be at worst probably in a break-even situation in a poor year. They're going to make money most years and make pretty good money some years. And so that's really the challenge going forward. Again, we know there's a lot of pressure on input costs as well. So need to be looking at those things carefully and penciling them out and having a great plan in terms of managing those input costs.
I know that one of the colleagues that's been here that you've had a chance to interact with a little bit is Dr. Coons from Colorado State. He's kind of going to be a third party observer for the industry and looking at what they're calling their packer silo. They're trying to get that information for this 75% planned. I guess he's kind of going to be in a unique position.
Well, he certainly will. I mean, he's probably done more research on these AMAs and the impact of those over time, and then in this particular instance, as a part of this NCBA policy, he's going to be the person that's trying to see that data. It's all confidential, and so he will be the only person who sees that data and is in a position then to evaluate whether or not we're meeting the goals of that 75% plan.
Now, you know, when you think about that plan, you've seen the data that's come out from the path, you know, the feedlot side of things, first two quarters. What's your thoughts on those?
Well, I think the industry has responded to the concerns about, we're calling it price discovery issues. There's actually a lot of issues wrapped up in that terminology, but, the industry has responded. So we've increased cash trade and in response to that, and that was the objective of the policy, really, was to get to a position where we felt more comfortable that we were, making sure that we had adequate price discovery in the market. And so, I don't think it's changed things a great deal. And one of the things that I think it's important for everybody to keep in mind is that price discovery is not the same thing as price determination. And if we think we have price discovery problems, that doesn't mean that better price discovery is going to give you higher prices.
Right.
Market forces are determining that. And so this is really, I think those two things get convoluted a little bit sometimes. But, it's an improvement in any event in that we are responding to those concerns and to that policy for the industry.
Coming back to that Cattle Facts Outlook seminar today, they seem to be pretty well in the camp, and I know where you're at really is that we are at that point of getting the leverage flipped back to the producer.
Well, I think so. You know, again, that there's been that bottleneck all this year at the packer processor level in terms of fed cattle supplies. And just, you know, part of it's just seasonal numbers. Fed cattle numbers drop seasonally. We're dropping from a peak in February, really, that was a level of feedlot inventories we had not seen since 2006.
Right.
And so we've dropped significantly. So we're, you know, the cap is still there, but we're going to drop out from under that cap as these feedlot numbers tighten up. And since we have now, I think, really worked through the peak supplies, if you will, that come from the cyclical peak in 2019. Going forward, even when we build back up seasonally in the fourth quarter of the year, we shouldn't build back up to a level where we will be under the same kind of pressure next spring that we were this spring.
Takeaways from this meeting. What you feel that the folks that you've interacted with, the producers and others, are they optimistic?
I think so. I think they're optimistic in a market sense, just that, we're in a position now to see things look better. Obviously, good, better prices makes everybody's mood a little bit better. I think I think the industry's happy to be able to get together for one thing and just enjoy the interaction and so on. And so, despite the challenges that we see, I think there's a lot of very positive things and a fair amount of optimism building out in the country.